This is the 243rd QuackCast Revenant Edition. It's called Reality, and is from December 17th, 2024. References and clever hyperlinks are available over at Science Based Medicine from the December 17th, 2024 blog entry with the same title, i.e. Reality. I have been thinking about reality of late. I have always been a big fan of the concept. Of course, comprehending reality is not so easy. Some concepts, like gravity, are relatively straightforward. Others, like quantum mechanics, are not. Yes, that was a deliberate joke. Medicine is, more often than not, not so clear-cut. Because a lot of medicine is statistical. For example, say you grow candida in a blood culture from a central venous catheter. As an intern, it was not treated as the therapy was toxic and the risk of complications from the fungemia was considered negligible. Now that we have less toxic therapies and a better understanding of the risks, but not everyone has a complication from the fungemia and some have issues with the treatment. But you play the odds now and treat. For me, that was always the most problematic part of practice, applying group results to an individual. Cure rates might be 98%, but for the individual, it would be all or nothing. As was wisely noted, doctors suggested that Norberg had a 50-50 chance of living, although there was only a 10% chance of that. We use the methods of science as our tools for understanding medicine and reality. I was always drawn to the idea of reality-based medicine rather than science-based medicine. So much of what we discuss on this blog is, at the end of the day, a fiction divorced from reality. But they had a good lawyer and took reality for all it was worth. Reality needed a good prenup, but the result is that the scammers use science, of a sort, to justify their fictions. It annoys me no end when the talking heads say there are two realities in the United States. Nope. There is one reality, often hazy, but there are 335 million interpretations of that reality. Those responses parallel the categories of Kubler-Ross's five stages of dying: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I know there are issues with that classification, and I am glad that she moved on to helping elves make cookies. And it appears people do not move through these stages when confronting reality. They glom on to one and hold it tight. Denial has always been the most popular. Which is quite amazing. I know that we have evolved to survive reality, not to understand it, but my flabber has long been gastered by people's reality to deny the evidence of their lying eyes. I have told this story many times, but us old folks like to repeat ourselves. I got interested in scams my first year in practice when I was consulted on a case of gangrene. It turned out to be a young female who had a cancer, sarcoma as I remember it, of her leg. Rather than get the probably curative amputation, she sought the care of a naturopath who, quote, treated, unquote, her. Very unsuccessfully. Her leg was a mass of rotting cancer. Quite the smell, let me tell you. But she saw it, as did her ND, as the cancer being successfully treated. She refused any further treatment. She was admitted to the hospital because she had passed out. It could not refuse admission. And died that night when the cancer eroded into an artery and she bled out. 40 years later, I shake my head in disbelief at that particular reality denial. Not the last, unfortunately. That is not the only advanced cancer I saw in my long and storied career where the patient denied a very obvious problem. Melanoma the size of a large mushroom, cancers that ate away at normal flesh to the size of a dinner plate, and massive fungating breast cancers. Nope, nothing wrong here, nothing to see. The ability of people, and on occasion their scam providers, to deny reality is amazing. I suppose it is but a more advanced manifestation of a common human characteristic. It is, as an example, manifestly obvious that walnuts are an abomination made by Satan for the sole purpose of turning brownies and chocolate chip cookies inedible. But huge numbers of people deny that reality. Go figure. Denial comes at three levels. There's individual denial. It harms the patient and their immediate friends and family, and sometimes enriches a scam provider. This is the form I saw most often. There is group denial. These are groups that deny, not people who deny groups. The most egregious are the homeopaths, but most scam practitioners have a tenuous relationship with the real world. Perhaps they don't have cable? The group denial can be religious, like Christian Scientists, whose reliance on prayer to combat illness often ends badly. The groups can be colored, like the increase in COVID morbidity and mortality in red folks compared to the blue folks. I suppose Boo Man Group did well during COVID. The old saying, better dead than red, doesn't work so well anymore. There are stories of people who, on their deathbeds, dying of COVID, refusing to the last to recognize they had the disease. I took care of buckets of COVID patients, but never saw that particular manifestation of denial, although it is part and parcel with how people react to other diseases. The worst is when reality denial becomes part of government policy, where ideology determines the science, if you can call it science, and reality is ignored. This approach was popular in the last century. Its apotheosis was probably Trofim Dzhanovich Lysenko, Stalin's chief agronomist, who denied all the precepts of modern biology and preferred a Marxist approach to farming. At least 7 million people died in the famines that followed. It is good that that sort of reality denial can't happen in the U.S. Nope, everything is fine here, as he whistles in the dark, which only attracts the clickers, so it's best to keep the whistling down. That's the thing about reality. It is one honey badger. It doesn't care. It doesn't give a shit what you think. Reality is going to do what it does regardless of ideology of your personal response to it, which is kind of reassuring if the response is acceptance, problematic if it is depression, and catastrophic if denial. For most of my career, I was in charge of infection control in my hospital system. I think of the environment as filled with pathogens, constantly testing our barriers to infect us. Very much a Last of Us situation. The game, not the TV show. My take home from a lifetime of infection control: if you want to prevent infections, you have to do all the interventions every time and perfectly. Reality needs to be fastidiously adhered to. Any breakdown in technique and the pathogen will use that opportunity to infect, which makes it a pain when taking care of patients, but it works. 40 years of taking care of infectious disease patients, HIV, tuberculosis, COVID, influenza, stick it to the maniosis. I was always fastidious with infection control policies and procedures, and I never caught an infection from a patient. I paid close attention to the reality of those infections. Infectious is the first word in my specialty, not kind of infectious diseases or sort of infectious diseases. In the old days, it was called contagious diseases, which I really like. And now we have bird flu at the door. It was found in a pig in Oregon, and that cues the music from Jaws. Pigs are the creepy castle on the hill in which Baron von Frankenstein can construct his monster, perhaps to run amok and kill the villagers. Or not. If we are lucky, the evolution of influenza to become more infectious will come with a decrease in virulence. So far in humans, bird flu is mostly causing a mildish upper respiratory tract disease. Perhaps it will stay that way. Perhaps not. Perhaps we will get some amelioration from partial immunity to the prior infections and vaccines that were in one. Again, or not. Like most ID, infectious disease, not intelligent design, doctors, I have been nervously drumming my fingers on the table waiting for an influenza pandemic like the one in 1918 to 1919. And we may be perhaps one mutation away from an infection with a 30% death rate. Or not. It will be interesting. Yeah, interesting. That's the word. To see the federal response in the next 4 years to the reality of bird flu or any new influenza, going full pandemic. The flu vaccine is not best to breed, but like airbags and seatbelts in a high-speed collision, better than not. It is also a vaccine whose benefits are better noticed in populations than in individuals. I have pontificated extensively about influenza, so to sum up, the vaccine decreases the odds of getting flu, getting sick with flu, being hospitalized with flu, and dying of flu. Note the key words, decreases the odds. And it decreases the odds of pregnancy loss and, perhaps in some, stupider children. You can't make a silk purse, though, out of a sow's ear. It's also interesting what COVID restrictions did to flu and other respiratory illnesses. Shut them down. One influenza, influenza B, looks like it went extinct. Amazing. So we know the benefits of vaccinations and, from COVID, the benefits of restrictions as well as the downsides. We have a fairly good understanding of reality. So when and if bird flu hits, which stages of dying will the federal government embrace? Me? I'm investing in crypto coffins. I'm going out with the best of both worlds.